good morning, you guys. I want to share, this is the third part of what Mr. Vlad in Russia shared with us about his grandfather and the days and times that he was living in socialism in Russia. Now, I want to tell y'all something. I prayed to the Lord and I thought about this and I thought, do I really need to share this? Is it pertinent for our times? But I want to tell you, at the end of this, I'm going to share you something that he showed me. He works through the body of Christ if we'll let him. And I'm going to show you what one of you guys out there shared with me that told me, confirmed to me that, yes, he wants this spoken out. So let's go with this. Listen, y'all. He shared and he said, peasants. Now, remember, we're talking back in the 20s, the 30s, and the 40s when his grandfather lived. And remember, his grandfather, the KGB, came to their home in the middle of the night, came in there and searched for all, any kind of Bibles, any kind of faith material, any kind of Christian, anything, and confiscated all of that. And his grandmother, remember, saved that one Bible. She tucked it under the baby's pillow. And remember, they took him, the grandfather, and they arrested him. And the family wondered for years and years and years, and they kept trying to contact and kept trying to find out what happened to him. And they kept lying to them. They would just say that he has what he needs and all of this, when actually they had executed him in front of a firing squad no less than 2 months later after they arrested him. That's just to bring us up to speed, y'all. Now, this is a little bit about the life that he lived before that time, okay? Says peasants in those days had an extremely hard life. It could be literally compared to the life of a slave. Who didn't know how to, the slave that didn't know how to break up the vicious cycle of working too hard at a collective farm to earn nothing, even a penny a day, and paying tremendous taxes for all things they had. A family of any number of members could have only 1 acre of land and not any more. They didn't allow neither rent the land. You couldn't rent the land out, so they couldn't make money by trying to rent their land either. You couldn't use it above that limit. You had 1 acre and that's it. Some families had 14 to 17 children, but the same law was in force for every family unit. It didn't matter how big or how small your family was, 1 acre and that's all. They said pay taxes not only for the land in size of an acre, but also pay for each tree bearing fruit, irrespectively if it does this year or not. Even if the tree did not bear fruit, they were going to pay taxes for having a fruit tree on their land. That's why most of the people cut down their apple trees, their pear trees, their plum trees, and their cherry trees. So they had to cut down trees that were sources of food and nutrition because they couldn't pay the taxes to keep them on their land. He says only one cow was allowed to be kept on a property, and it was unbearably taxed, as well as sheep, goats, beehives, and all other animals. They were taxing everything so extreme. There was not allowed for a single family in the USSR to own a horse since 1929 for several decades. If someone had one for a short time, the horse was confiscated and the owner could be either fined a great sum of money or even exiled to Siberia. Don't we hear that term today? Exiled to Siberia, sent to Siberia, right? All teenagers age 14, he says, and at the time of World War II, at the age of 10 and on, should work daily at a collective farm for 10 to 12 hours for free. There was neither any peasant who was paid for that work nor did get any pension either. While a person could walk, he or she could go to work, should go to work, irrespectively of health, of their health problems, or any age limits. Their attitude was, if you can walk, you get to work, regardless. The chairman or a team leader would put a special mark like a stick against a surname of a person who worked that day in a job employee handbook, or who worked that day, I'm sorry, in a job employee handbook. So you come to work, they put a strike, a mark by your name. If someone didn't get 26 or so sticks a month, he or she was in real trouble. In such a case, they could take away a trunk with clothes or a cow, and the family would starve to death. They take that cow, you're toast. A lot of million of pheasants and their families were killed like that or in similar circumstances when someone had more food than someone else and all things were taken away to make everyone equal. Socialism, remember? We're going to bring the poor up. We're going to bring the rich down. Everybody's going to be on an equal playing field. They present it like it's a good thing, right? It's coming to America. And you're going to see why in a minute. But listen to this. So if you had more and you thought, whoo, we're going to make it, guess what? Yeah, no, we're going to come take what you got and we're going to even the playing field. We're going to spread it around. You ain't going to just sit up there and hoard up and have more, right? Uh-uh. And they said, real lawlessness was in every sphere of life. Most of the people were like animals, not having any rights at all. Don't we see that with our Constitution already being taken away? We think we still have one, but the governments, they already know. My mother, Alexandra, lived in a village for 33 years and had a desire to drink a cup of milk or to eat a piece of grain bread. If she used to drink milk, it was watered down. It was 90% water. Bread they had, bread they made had only 20% grain at the very most. All the rest was unpeeled potatoes, acorns, sweet beetroots, or something similar, and wild herbs. That's what they were existing on. Overwhelming taxes didn't give my mother even a little chance to sleep more than 2 or 3 hours a night. She had to make clothes for people who could pay. Who could pay some money, and she tried to cover the due taxes. My grandmother used to see her daughter, Alexandra, dozing in front of the sewing machine at 3 a.m., and she has to be up at least 5 or even earlier to milk a cow, feed the animals, and go to work. In those days, peasants produced everything, all kinds of clothes, sandals, wool, high boots, and things for the house themselves. Out of harvest season, they could buy a pound of salt, and that was it during a month or so. Almost all year round, except for wintertime, most of the people wore lime bark sandals, which they had to make themselves as well. It used to take several weeks to produce a pair because the bark should be treated in water to be flexible and then properly dried. Now, I want to tell you, that was a picture of socialism that they were living through, where the government presents this great picture of really helping the poor to come up and really balancing the playing field. And a lot of people are buying right into this. Okay, now I want to share something to you, how I know God tied this in with where we're at right now. I want to give a shout out to Mr. Daniel and his wife. He's the one that spoke with me. He said his wife, she's an evangelist in Tampa. And God bless you guys for what you're doing for the kingdom of God. He brought this to my attention. He said, I dare you to Google Executive Order 13603, which was signed March 16th of 2012. I did Google it. Oh, man. You guys can Google it, too. Okay? It's Executive Order National Defense Resources Preparedness. Now, some of the things that are in this order, I'm not going to read the whole thing. You know, you guys can find it online. And always, if you go to the church website, I've got all the links to where I did my research from. You can follow right behind me and see what I saw, okay? I'm going to go to section 103. Says, identify requirements for the full spectrum of emergencies, including essential military and civilian demand. Assess on an ongoing basis the capability of the domestic, industrial, and technological base to satisfy requirements in peacetime and times of national emergency, specifically evaluating the availability of most critical resource and production sources, including subcontractors and suppliers, materials, skilled labor, and professional and technical personnel. This is written as if getting ready to go to war, okay? And my thing is, don't we have a military? Don't we have trained people? Don't we, you know what I mean? Haven't we always been ready for such a thing like that? But supposedly, that's what this is about. I want to talk to you right now about slave labor force. All right. Section 502 says consultants. The head of each agency otherwise delegated functions under this order is delegated the authority of the president under, and it gives all the legal mumbo jumbo, to employ persons of outstanding experience. Let's get a hold of this. To employ persons of outstanding experience and ability without compensation. See, that's where the slave part of this comes in. You're going to be employed for free. Okay? Outstanding experience and ability without compensation, and to employ experts, consultants, or organizations. The authority delegated by this section may not be redelegated. Okay? Then I skip to section 601. It says Secretary of Labor. Secretary of Labor, in coordination with Secretary of Defense and heads of other agencies, as deemed appropriate by the Secretary of Labor, shall, number one, they say, collect and maintain data necessary to make a continuing appraisal of the nation's workforce, of the nation's workforce needs for purposes of national defense. Number two, upon request by the Director of Selective Service and in coordination with Secretary of Defense, assist the Director of Selective Service in development of policies regulating the induction and deferment of persons for duty in the armed services. We need you to go serve. Here you go. Number three, upon request from the head of an agency and with authority under this order, consult with that agency with respect to the effect of contemplated actions on labor demand and utilization, the relation of labor demand to materials and facilities requirements. Such other matters will assist as will assist in making the exercise of priority and allocation functions consistent with effective utilization and distribution of labor. Number four, upon request from the head of an agency with authority under this order, formulate plans, programs, and policies for meeting the labor requirements of actions to be taken for national defense purposes. Says estimate training needs to help address national defense requirements and promote necessary and appropriate training groups. Now, this is one that I went and looked up just to add to this. I wanted to show y'all. You know when it's the government passing this kind of stuff and they do this shady stuff late at night on a weekend, whatever, and the public don't even know about it, and they pass their little stuff through, and then you actually get to look at it and you start reading the stuff. This says in Section 801, farm equipment, energy, food, civil transportation, food resources, and food resource facilities. When I was reading over that last night, it gave definitions for what's considered farm equipment, what's considered energy, what's considered on energy. It said all, and it listed it out. And same thing, it had to define civil transportation and these different things. And I want to tell you something. Like, I watched a video where this guy was breaking this down. He seemed like he was ex-military because he was hot. And not like, oh, he was mad hot, y'all. And he was saying that basically they're saying they can seize anything and anybody under this executive order that they passed. Now, let's not forget that in 2010, they leaked this FM 3.39-40, which you can look that up too. Internment and resettlement operations. And just so we know, internment is a pretty big word. And I was like, what's that mean, you know? I think intern, the person who works for free at the White House or companies or whatever, who's learning a skill or a trade, right? Internment is the imprisonment or confinement of people, commonly in large groups without trial. And this thing they passed in 2010, internment and resettlement operations. And when you look through that, it has to do with PSYOPs and rehabilitation. And remember, especially here in America, we've seen it where the baker who's a Christian serves the Lord and he's not going to make that cake for that gay wedding couple. Well, then they fine him a bunch of money. He has to go through this whole big legal process trying to ruin his business. And then the end of him, the last I saw was they were sending him to a rehabilitation so he could get his thinking straight, right? And he could go along with what they wanted him to do. So you see these rehabilitation and all of this has to do with what they're getting ready to do, y'all. I want y'all to know, it's changing fast. And there is one safe place to be, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You guys research this. Pray about it. Let your Holy Spirit speak to you and lay this on your hearts, what's coming, okay? Because they're working hard and heavy right now to get their new world order in place. All right, thanks for listening, y'all. God bless you.